I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 318. We'll talk to Mackenzie Porter, being an actress. She's got a new duet with Dustin Lynch, it's doing really well. Being a big star in Canada, and then in America, musically not being known as well. It's kind of a weird dynamic there, where in Canada she's a big star. Here, people are like, oh, we're still learning about you. But Mackenzie Porter coming up in just a little bit. Next week, as far as we know still, we should have Reba.
Yes.
For an hour.
Yeah. Excited about it.
Which I've never heard Reba for an hour before. So sometimes things get moved, but I'm just letting everybody know next week should be Reba right here on this podcast. My favorite five releases. New music this week that's out at number 5. Kane Brown and Her. This is called Blessed and Free.
I'm already blessed, yeah, I'm already blessed and free. Yeah, I'm already blessed, yeah, I'm already
At number 4, Brandi Carlile put out a new album called In These Silent Days. Here's a new song called Right on Time. At number 3 this week, Justin Moore has a new song called With the Woman You Love. At number 2, new country duo Walker Country has a song out called Liar.
Everybody knows I'm a liar. I can't help myself. I'm a look me in the eyes with a
And at number 1, LV Shane, who you may be familiar with from this song here called My Boy.
He ain't my blood, ain't got my name, but if he did, I'd feel the same.
He has a new song out called My Kind of Trouble.
Tell what you're selling is dangerous. You probably leave my heart in a cloud of dust. Damned if I don't, damned if I do. You're the kind of trouble I could get into.
Which he played on the radio show this week. Really, the guy's so good. Like, who knew? I figured he's good because you don't really get a deal and you got to be good to get to this point. But, man, just so good. So those are the 5 that I'm really looking forward to this week. Dustin Lynch has a new song called Huntin' Land. Blake Shelton has come back as a country boy. Brandon Lay has Back Home. The Pistol Annies are putting out a Christmas song called Snow Globe. So there you go. Quick news, Dolly Parton's TikTok account was fake. She didn't join. They took like an old video of her talking about the Imagination Library, right?
Yeah, I saw it. I got tricked too.
You did?
I thought it was her.
Garth Brooks, Trisha Yearwood, and more added to the 5,000th broadcast of the Grand Ole Opry. It's going to be really cool. So far, Terry Clark, the Gatlin Brothers, Chris Jansen, Jeannie Seeley, Garth Brooks, Trisha, Dustin Lynch, Darius Rucker. It's pretty cool. Let's see what else. Zac Brown Band pauses the comeback tour after Zac tests positive for COVID. We're supposed to have him on the radio show. And he was like, oh, I got a family emergency. Turns out he got COVID. Mm. I think that was the day. because we're going to do a whole big thing with them where they're going to play and stuff. A tape for a tape having an unreleased John Lennon song sold for $58,000. No word if the song was any good or not.
No.
And then finally, Joey Ramone's guitar that he played on all 15 Ramones albums and over 2,000 live performances sold for $900,000.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is substantial. But it is such an integral part of the Ramones. If he played on every record and all those shows.
Yeah.
And how did he keep that guitar? I mean, for as reckless as they were, I'm surprised he kept the same guitar and was able to.
Yeah.
All right, that's what's up. Interview with Mackenzie Porter coming up in a second. All right, we're here with Mackenzie Porter, which we've met a couple times.
We have, should I put these on?
Yeah, you put them on because we'll play some music too.
Okay.
We've met a couple times, maybe one time.
One time, and then I, like, not in a creepy way, but we go to the same spin studio. So we, I've seen you spin, but, like, yes. That's not the place where you're, like, what's
and you
that?
Know, you're friends
Kenzie.
With Kenzie.
Yeah, who, she's
it's
one of
her
my
studio.
Friends. Yeah.
That. Now, have we spun in the same class, and were you amazed at how great of a spinner I am?
I think I'm always, like, after you or before you. So either, like, I see you drenched or you see me drenched in sweat.
I'm also terrible.
You are?
Yes. I try. But see, the difference for me is, and I like going to that class because I need the motivations, and the right teacher makes the spin class.
100%.
Because I'm only going to go as strong as I'm being motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, like, I'm on the Peloton, because I have one of those, where I've got numbers in front of me, and I can chase those numbers, and I can chase those paths. But if I have a good teacher in spin class, I think I actually do better than I do on the Peloton.
Right. And Kenzie's the best.
Kenzie's great.
She's so good. But do you ever, like, are you, like, able to get on beat with everything?
I don't know. No, probably not. I mean, I try to. If it's fast, here's the thing. I'm just going to be honest. I like the class, but I can't keep up with the dancing.
Right.
Sometimes there's a lot of choreography that I call it choreography because I don't go enough to know. Okay, guys, you know what? You go 3, 2, left, right, elbow, knee, butt.
I know.
And I'm just like, I don't know what's happening. So then I decided, screw it. I'm just going to pedal as hard as I can.
That's the way to go. I do it for, like, the first two songs, and then my legs are like, absolutely not.
How often do you go to spin class?
It really depends. Like, if I'm in town, like I'm going tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll try to go like 3 times a week if I'm in town.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I hit shed in between. You wouldn't be able to tell because I'm like a little weakling, but I try to work out a lot.
It was weird going to a spin class when we had to wear masks.
See, I never went then. Mm-hmm. But the first time I came back after, I was like, this is not good because everyone's just like breathing
it
so
sucked.
Much.
Yeah. I mean, it was the worst part about the pandemic. I'm just kidding. Yeah. It's not. It's like 100,000th of the
somebody's
worst
gonna
things.
Use that quote and be like, yes. Bobby said.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. They will. It happens all the time. So you're on the road a lot now?
I'm on the road a lot now. So I'm out with Jordan Davis. Coolest human ever.
He's fine.
So chill.
He's fine.
He's
I've met better.
You've met better.
He's actually a good friend of mine. So,
oh, he is.
And,
okay.
And he is a good dude. And I'll tell you my one Jordan Davis story that I get to tell quite often frequently. I had Jordan out opening for me. He was my middle act. I would do stand up. We were playing theaters, and Jordan did middle and had a baby opener. And so it was only for a few shows. And I was like, hey, Jordan, our first show's in Kentucky. And he drove over. It's an easy drive from here because I don't know where we were. Maybe Lexington.
Okay.
And he walks out, and I was like, hey, okay, I'll see you after your set. Because I need someone who's going to kind of lift people because I'm doing jokes. I've made the mistake of putting – like, I had Tennille Towns out with me, and she is so freaking good, but she made everybody cry. And so I have to go out and tell jokes and dig out of a hole because everybody's so emotionally whooped from her. But Jordan, I was like, this is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go out, do his half hour. Everybody's going to be up, feeling good. Got some good upbeat songs. And he walks out, and he plays 2 songs and walks off stage. He's like, oh, man, thanks. And I was like, what do you mean? What's happening here? He goes, I did my 2 songs. I was like, what do you mean 2 songs? I was supposed to do 25, 30 minutes. And he's like, oh, crap. So I had to like rush to get dressed. So what I made him do, it was just a misunderstanding. And I wasn't ready. I had half an hour before I was supposed to go out. And so I go out and I start doing my jokes. And I say, okay, well, you're going to come do your other 15 in the middle of my set. So I did the first part of my set. Then he came out and then did the middle. And I tell that story as much as possible just to humiliate him because he deserves it, basically.
2 songs, though. Like, that would stress me out if you, like...
Well, he was like, thank you, and the crowd started cheering, and I was like, is the guy doing an encore in the middle of, like, the middle set? But good guy, huh?
Such a good guy. Like, I kind of want him to, like, build me a fire and, like, chop some wood.
Just because he has lumberjack vibes?
He's got, like, such lumberjack vibes in the best way.
So you're out playing those shows. How often are you guys on the road?
We're doing... basically every weekend. We were out last weekend. I think this weekend we have off, and then out again. So
who's on that? Is it just you two?
Me, Seaforth, and then Jordan.
Those guys are really good too.
They're so good.
Like surprisingly, and I definitely want to talk about you, but I had those guys in my studio once because we were accusing them of stealing our look, Eddie and myself, because we have a comedy duo called The Raging Idiots. And Eddie wears the hat, and I obviously can't see, and I have the glasses. We were like, all right, kids.
That's true.
You're stealing our look.
That is true.
So we brought them in. We competed with them, and we won.
You should take, like, a percentage.
Well, we said we would take their glasses and their hat, but then we felt bad for them.
Okay.
And but when they started singing, I was like, oh, you're way better than I thought you would be.
They're really good.
And so,
and they're cool.
And they're very nice. I brought them out on the road. I threw a couple festivals this year. It was us and Russell Dickerson and Maddie Ante and Seaforth. And they came and opened. And they're so good live.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good people. And
really good people.
Funny accents.
I love their accents.
You don't expect it.
Yeah, I love their accents. They're like a good like hype up band. Like, I feel like their energy is like, if you're playing or if you're doing comedy after, they can
make
hype
that note, Mike. Seaforth will do more than two songs.
You know who else is a good hype up person?
You?
You girl.
All right, so what do you play? You hop out on stage. I know you from the American version of you. Which is a couple of things. I've played some of your music on the Women of I Heart Country.
Yes, thank you for that.
You're welcome. And then the song with Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
But what's weird, and I'll compare this to one of my friends who was a professional tennis player, he would say, in the States, he's well known. But he would go to Europe, and he was King Ding-a-ling. Mm-hmm. Like, people would be like, oh my God, because tennis there was so massive. Right. Where you were like the most played country artist in Canada in like 2020, one of the top five all-genre artists. Like, if you go back home, is it actually a thing where you're like, well, I'm kind of famous again?
It's like a nice, I feel like it's a good balance because here I get like very grounded. And then when I go home, I'm like, oh, I'm actually kind of cool. And then I come back here, I'm like, nope, not cool.
That's awesome that you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously my big goal is in the US because whatever here I feel like just translates.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's a longer road.
I want to play a few clips here. Let's play a little bit of Unholy Me, Mike. We featured it last weekend on the Women of I Heart Country. And then the song with Dustin is at number 18 now, and it's moving.
It's moving, yeah.
Yeah, Thinking About You with Dustin and Mackenzie Porter.
I was just thinking about that weekend out on Carmel and Lake, and now I'm timing Baton Rouge will be made out in the rain, where we went chasing falling stars on a hill at your daddy's farm. Don't be sorry for calling me a rat out of the blue. I was just thinking about you.
Where's the coolest place you guys have been able to do that together?
So both of our very first show back was Dustin hosted like a pool.
Oh, the Vegas thing, yeah.
Pool situation in Vegas, which was like so rowdy and so fun. So that was pretty cool to play. That was the first one.
Whenever you guys came into the studio, that was the first time that we had met.
Yeah.
And it's always a weird dynamic for me to have Dustin, I'll just use Dustin as an example, artist A with new artist, we'll call it artist B.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dustin's there, and I'm interviewing Dustin. But there's also someone with them, and I'd like to spend a little time with them. And this is not just you two that happen. It happens anytime the situation happens. And I would have talked to you more, but then I don't want Dustin to be over there like, hey, bruh.
It's me.
Yeah, like, we're here because of me. And so I remember you guys coming in, and I did talk to you quite a bit.
You did.
Yeah. And hopefully everybody thought that was cool and you felt...
I thought it was really cool.
You felt like involved and, you know, I struggle with that, making sure that everybody feels like they're, you know, they have a place at the table. But Dustin's version of the story, and I'm sure yours is going to be similar, but I'd like to hear it from your perspective, is that he blindly heard your audition, your tape, I don't know what you would call it, mm-hmm. The vocal that you laid down for that.
Yeah.
That he was just listening to them and heard you and said, hey, I like her, and it went from there. It wasn't more than that.
Right.
So on your side, who calls you and says record, and can you not go, hey, Dustin, it's really me? Like, from your side, tell me the story.
Well, I didn't know Dustin, so I didn't really have a way to, like, reach out to him and be like...
Not even, like, Instagram or Twitter, be like...
I mean, I followed him, but he didn't follow me.
Okay.
So basically how it happened was my manager just told me that, hey, he's auditioning all these different girls because the Lauren Elena version, timing didn't work out with them. So he's like, do you want to lay down a vocal? yeah, of course I'd like to lay down a vocal. So I went into the studio with my producer, Joey Moy, and we laid down, which I thought was a pretty great vocal. And then just sent it away, and it was like 3 weeks, nothing.
When you laid down the vocal to that, was it over the track? Did they send you the track or like the stems to make your version of it?
Yeah, they sent me the demo version, which was just, I'm not actually sure who was singing the girl version of that. And then I could listen to Lauren's version online, but then they just sent me just, yeah, the track. And I just
like sang
an on top
instrumental
of it.
Version. Got it.
Exactly. And, you know, it was like a fine line of, I didn't want it to be too close because then it's like I'm copying, but I also didn't want it to be too far because then it's, you know, it doesn't sound like the same song, or it just sounds like I like just went for a totally different vocal. But I feel like we kind of threaded that line pretty nicely. And then again, didn't hear anything. I'm like, okay, you know, there's so many opportunities in this industry, and I'm in the film industry too, like that just come and go and you never hear anything. So probably 3 weeks later, I get a little follow on Instagram from Dustin. I'm like,
oh, come on. Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Oh, that had to be either two things about to happen. We're married too, right?
I'm married. Yeah.
Two things about to happen. Something shady. Something awesome. Yeah.
But knowing, like, I mean, I had heard a lot about Dustin and he's not shady at all. So I was like, I think this means something really good. And then like a week after that
was for real. The first thing you saw was him follow you.
100%.
It's just, nobody's listening. Just me and you right here.
100%. I screenshotted it, sent it to my manager. I'm like, I'm doing the song. He's like, no, you're not. Calm down. You're a psycho. You're not like, not that doesn't mean anything. I'm like, yes, it does. Why would he follow me? And, but then I didn't hear anything. And then a week later, I get like a random number calling my phone, but I just sent it to voicemail because we all did that.
Probably somebody selling you a car warranty anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Or like insurance for something. And he left me a voicemail. And it's funny because I was doing another interview and I just found the voicemail. So I'm going to keep it. Like if the song ever, you know.
Well, it already is kind of doing whatever the little hand thing you just did.
Yeah.
And I think it's got, you know, quite a bit of, you know, potential. I think it's got good momentum as well. Okay. So he says yes. I just think what you tell yourself is so different than what I would have told myself. Because from that story, I draw that you're a positive person.
Sometimes. So I'm either like so positive or like just like down in the dumps.
I'm never positive about myself.
Yeah.
If that would have happened to me, I would have said, oh man, he was looking at people and he accidentally hit follow on mine of all the people because he was looking through. And that's what I would have told myself.
Really? Like yeah. After even like.
Yeah.
Really?
That's what I would have. Because when you were telling that, I was like, hey, good for her. She immediately saw what positively could come from this.
Right.
And I would have been like, oh crap, he doesn't even know he followed me. Now he's going to have to unfollow me and that's going to be awkward because if I ever actually do meet him, I'm going to know, he's going to know. See, that's why I don't do what you
but
do.
But like, my mind is like, if he accidentally or if he accidentally followed you, he'd quickly hit it and I wouldn't even see it.
Unless he doesn't realize until you post.
Oh.
Now I'm making her sad for what there's no reason to be. Let me play some of This Sucks. Now, before I do with Virginia to Vegas, what's Virginia to Vegas?
So, okay, he's one guy. That's his artist name.
Got it.
But it was originally a duo, and his duo partner was from Vegas. He was originally from Virginia, and they met in Toronto. So the two is like T.O., like Toronto.
Virginia, oh, T.O., Vegas.
So, but you say Virginia to Vegas.
And then you're on this song as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me hear this.
Hate the way that things went down. I can't even figure out the things that drove a wedge between us now.
That's cool. Yeah, that's real cool.
Yeah, I was like gonna tell you there's an F-bomb coming. Just
it doesn't matter.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's not live, so we can do whatever. Right. That's really cool. How'd you get that one?
Kind of same thing. He had heard my song. So in Canada, I obviously am a country artist, but one of my songs last year went to pop radio too.
Because it got so big at country?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And so I think it went like number five or something on pop. So he had heard it and he just reached out to the label and said, would you want to do something with me?
Which one?
Which, oh, These Days.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah. I'm thinking that those days.
So you've had three back-to-backs in Canada. I just want to go through your Canadian life before we get to your American life. I'm just so intrigued by all of this. Just at, you know, kind of the dichotomy of you're here, mm-hmm. You could probably go to the grocery store
mm-hmm.
and not really worry about anybody. But back home, you could probably have to worry about people being like, hey, let me get a picture.
Right.
You know, not worry, but I'm knowing COVID, I worry.
Right.
Yeah, it's different now. So, yeah. But that to me is just fascinating. Here is About You, at number one. It's about Was this your first chart success of any song?
No. Before I signed to Big Loud here, I put like an independent record out, and I think there's like 3 singles off that. They didn't do like amazing, but like 11 and.
Oh, really? So you did actually have something going for you.
That's how I got my record. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Here is Seeing Other People. That's a good one.
Thank you.
I mean, obviously they're all good, but I like that one.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that one the most. Thank you. One's not, though, it's not on the EP, huh?
No, it is.
It is?
Yep.
Let me look at this. Oh, it is, and it's highlighted.
Yeah. Both. At the very top.
Yes, it's actually highlighted green, extremely bold. You have 7 songs on the EP, Drinking Songs. It was put out in 2021,
right? Late last year. Yeah.
And so the single now, though, is Unholy Me.
Unlonely, but...
Wait.
Yeah.
This says, look, just so you see this.
Oh, Unholy.
It's written Unholy.
I mean, that's probably what it should be.
See Reed over there? He's fired. And he had nothing to do with it. He actually runs cameras.
What does that mean? Not holy, I guess.
So let me play Unlonely Me again, Mike.
We should rewrite it, probably.
You know, no, I hear it all different now. Okay, so that's the new single.
Unholy Me sounds like almost like a dirty song then. Kind of.
You thought I didn't go there in my mind, did you, Mike?
I mean, I kind of did.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was like someone who could like do better for themselves spiritually.
Unholy.
And like they're chasing a dream of being.
Well, Unholy Me though, it sounds like.
Maybe to you guys, dirty minds.
In the gutter.
Not to a guy like me. So when did you move to Nashville full time?
I moved in, 2014.
You've been here for a while then.
I actually lived down the street. Do you know Carolyn Don Johnson? She was like a country singer back in the day.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Is she related to Don Johnson, the actor?
I don't think so.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. But she had a pool house and I stayed there and just tried to write with whoever I could write with.
Why did you move to Nashville?
Just to be a country singer.
Like that was the goal?
To be a writer, yeah.
Because it feels like you have this list of talents and you could have pursued it in any direction. Why country music? Was that big where you were from?
I grew up on like a cattle and bison ranch, so my dad's a rancher, and that's all. I mean, in the middle of nowhere, like literally the next town to where our ranch was 3,000 people, so just boonies, and that's all that we listened to growing up.
Your dad?
My whole family.
Did anyone in your family play music at all?
Yeah, so my dad played in a band. My brother won Canadian Idol. My sister's in a band. My grandma's like a wicked piano player. My cousins and I had a band,
very musical.
Yeah, but kind of like annoying where it was like always doing shows and trying to get people to come to our shows. And
was it expected that you would be musical?
I think so. I mean, I started playing violin when I was 4 and piano. And I think my mom's like, why weren't you a doctor? I'm like, because you literally put me in all these lessons at 4 years old.
How many brothers and sisters?
2. So like 1 brother, 1 sister.
Sister older or younger?
They're both older.
Both, and the brother won Canadian Idol. The sister, is she musical though?
She's in a band too.
Really? Still?
Yeah. She is more like local. Like she does a bunch of weddings and that kind of stuff. And then Kaylin, my older brother, won, toured, did the whole thing. And then he decided he hated it and went to school.
So he's not in music anymore?
No, he's a coder in Silicon Valley. Very different.
Wow.
That whole experience for him was pretty brutal. Like, winning a show like that and then getting stuck in the contract like that, and he just doesn't have the personality for it. He just hated the attention and hated the lifestyle of it.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Who are the judges on Canadian Idol? Because now, I'll give you a second to think about it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Because I've been on Idol for four seasons here in the States, but they show us in Canada now where I don't even know if they have Canadian Idol
anymore.
They
don't. And okay. I think the deals now, like this was back in, I was 14. This is in a long time ago. So I feel like the deals now are totally different.
Oh, the contracts are totally different. You still owe them a bit,
yeah,
but it's not like it used to be.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not like tied in for like 20 years.
Right.
The judges, oh my gosh, I don't even know. I can't remember.
But it would have been like Atlantis and one of the Bare Naked Ladies and
probably
Celine Dion.
Justin Bieber. Yeah.
So he
Justin's like four.
Did you ever do any of those?
No.
You never tried out?
Mm-mm.
Was it because of his experience? You're like, it's not for me?
I think so. I just feel like I saw behind the curtain in that specific situation. I don't know if it's, you know, I think it's different, but.
Even American. You didn't try any of the American versions.
Mm-mm. I don't think I could because I'm not American. I'm like,
it's not a.
Can you be?
Of course you can. We have people all the time from other countries on there.
Okay.
It's not like running for president. You can go and be on a reality show.
We don't check your birth certificate.
Yeah, we don't give a crap. If you can sing and make compelling TV, we don't give a crap.
I literally couldn't even like get TSA pre-check until I got my like citizenship. Like I was like, I can't do anything. So I thought I couldn't do a show.
Are you? No, you cannot be on The Voice. So you're a citizen though because you're married to an American?
Yeah, I'm like a green card holder.
Okay.
So I have to be married to him for another 2 years, and then I'll be citizenship.
Did you do the thing where you had to go in different rooms and they ask you questions?
We didn't, but we went in together, and they asked, like, the most bizarre questions, like, is your dad in the mob? I'm like, I don't think so. But there was, like, so many that I wanted to, like, make jokes about, but I don't think that's the place to joke.
Mike D got put into Canadian airport prison.
Yeah, the airport. They wouldn't let me back into the country.
We were going...
Canadian airport prison's probably like...
Yeah, they give you massages.
Yeah.
They give you massages and compliment you. We were in Toronto because my radio show is... Now we're on in the morning in some places, but we're on at night all over Canada. And so we went up and I was speaking to a lot of Canadian broadcasters and people who run stations and companies. And on the way there? Or on the way back,
trying to get back.
On the way back, his name matches with some like serial killer or something.
Yeah, somebody they were looking for had my exact same name. So like, hey, we got to take you
sure
in the back room
you?
And question you. It was not me.
And they held him. And I was like, we're trying to get back into the States. And I had to decide, am I going to hang back and be loyal to my guy? Or am I going to get on the plane? And I picked get on the plane. But luckily, he got to come get on the plane. Luckily, they let him out just in time.
I just made the flight.
Were you so scared?
Yeah, I thought I was going to get stuck in Canada.
Which Wasn't so bad.
It was nice.
Yeah, they're
it'll be fine.
Just cold.
Yeah.
Very cold.
That's my only beef with Canada.
It's so cold.
It's just cold.
I hate it.
Not the nicest people. So nice. Where I think that I was standing on a corner in Toronto, and I was looking to find this restaurant. We were going to some fancy restaurant, and I'm scrolling, and I'm like, that's not it. Looking for directions. And someone comes up to me, and they came up to me so aggressively, I thought they were about to rob me. But they were like, where can I help you get to?
Aww.
And I was like, are you serious? And they were like, yeah, it's right over here.
And then they took your wallet.
You're a good we went to a restaurant. I wish I knew what it was called, but it's supposed, do you know?
What sort of food?
Well, it's private, right?
Okay.
And you can only go in if it's super.
Is it like Soho House or something?
Don't know.
Okay.
I'm surprised they let us in. We went in, and you know who was there? Is the Daniel Levy. Is sitting, who's Canadian.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's sitting like two tables over. I take my phone out, and I'm not too cool to take a picture of somebody, but I'm the creeper. So I pull my phone out, and I'm like sneaking it. And you can always tell when someone's, I can tell when people are sneaking pictures of me. Mm-hmm. So I was like sneaking it, and someone came over and said, no phones in here.
I guarantee you it was a Soho House. And they don't let
phones. No phones.
Mm-hmm.
And so, did you find it?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't pay the bill. And I did almost get kicked out for taking a picture of Daniel.
You know what's funny is I auditioned for Schitt's Creek. And did callbacks with him in the room. And he's like, so funny. Didn't get it. Should have got it. But the girl who got it was way better. But
which role?
The sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I love the show. Do you like the show?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
seen
so
it all.
Funny.
Seen every episode. Yep. So, and I watched it on Pop TV before it became like
it was like a slow following kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when it was just a Canadian comedy with the dad from American Pie.
Mm-hmm.
And I stumbled on it, and it was on the Pop TV channel. And so I would watch it. Since then it's blown up, and it's one of literally the biggest shows of the past, 10 years or so. But you got a callback on that, meaning you went an audition for just a producer?
So I did the initial audition, and then they called me back, and it was me and him in the room, him reading, me reading the sister part, and producers.
And so how did they call and tell you, no, you don't get this?
No.
It just goes away.
Never here.
That's what happens. Like, I pitch so many TV shows. I have a deal with BBC, and we do shows, and they act like they love it. They act like they loved you in the mm-hmm, audition, like, mm-hmm. You're so good. And they're like, Bobby, this is the greatest show idea. And they're like, we're going to go right now to Peacock. We're going to go to Amazon's going to love it. And then I just, like, 3 months later, I'm like, what happened? We're like, oh, nothing. Sorry, you didn't get it.
You know what? That's probably why you maybe, like, jump to the more negative, because in those situations, like, in an audition room, I do too. Because it's just, you hear, like, you're the mm-hmm. girl. And then just crickets.
Most of my career is being told no.
Mm-hmm.
Which people don't see that because they only see our yeses, because that is what is visible.
Right.
You know, and we also don't go online and go, look at everything that I just didn't get picked for. Mm-hmm. I think it's generally a culture thing too, but you know, it's a whole lot of no's, especially in my TV world. In radio now, I've gotten to the level at this point where there aren't many no's because that success is there.
Yeah.
In the TV world, it's 99.9% no's for me mm-hmm. constantly,
mm-hmm.
which I'm assuming as an actress, that's what it is for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, 99.9. The thing is like, I try to think of it as that is the job. Auditioning is the job. And then you, if you get picked, that's just like the most amazing, like icing on top. But like, what your job is every day is to go into a room and audition and not get picked.
Did you ever move to LA and try to
mm-hmm.
live and be... Why I tell artists a lot of times that they have to live here is because you have to be available, because they may call and go, hey, we need you for this thing. And if you're a new artist, you need to be at that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're a songwriter. And in Los Angeles, same thing, where people would tell me to, hey, you need to move out here if you're going to. I'm not going to, because.
Do you want to like do, would you want to do like a TV series where you're acting in it?
Okay. I don't want to act. I did like four episodes in Nashville and it was fine, but I'm not an actor.
I could see you acting.
But I'm not an actor. I'm a comedian. I do radio. I'm a comedian. I write. Books. I'm not an actor. So no, I wouldn't move out there for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you moved out there because of the same thing? Like, you wanted to be around where there were auditions?
I moved out there. So at the beginning of 2014, I went for like what was called pilot season. They don't really do that so much anymore, especially now because of COVID. But I moved into a house with five girls. And I remember being like, this is going to be a disaster because we're all similar looking and probably read for the same characters. And it was the best time of my life.
Oh, really?
Like, we all are so tight. We had the best time. There was one part we all auditioned for, and I ended up booking it. So moved there for 2 months and then had to go and film the show that I booked. But they were cool with it.
Supportive group?
Super supportive. Yeah. And to this day, some of my best friends.
That's pretty cool. I wouldn't expect that.
I didn't expect it either. I remember having the conversation with my dad being like, this is going to be so competitive. And but it wasn't. They're just awesome, awesome girls.
When you came through and you were with Dustin, Amy, my co-host, my friend, she just kept looking at you weird. And I was like, what? She goes, I don't know. I can't. Like, I've met her somewhere. And I was like, I don't think you met her. Because there have been instances where people have come in and we've literally met them as they were valeting the car or at the grocery store. And now they're artists and they're like, we met you. And Amy's like, I can't picture it. And then she goes, you're on that show. Mm-hmm. Travelers?
Travelers, yeah.
That show still go?
No, it got canceled.
But after a couple of
three seasons, yeah. But it's like a time travel show. I got to play this like super, super badass girl, like martial artist, doctor. I got to do a bunch of cool stuff on that show. Lots of fight scenes. That's why I'm so ripped.
On that, well, listen, I don't know if you're ripped or not. I can't tell. You made two jokes at this point.
Imagine if I just like pull this up and just like, bah.
Either way, I think it would be, I mean, a lot of country music stars are like crazy good athletes too, guys and girls.
I can't throw a ball. No.
Where were you on the call sheet of Travelers?
Two.
That's huge.
Yeah. So Eric McCormick was one.
Will and Grace.
Will and Grace, yeah.
And what was he like?
So sweet. Him and his wife, Janet, are like the most amazing people. We went to, they had a party, an Emmy party that him and, who was hosting it? I forget. He's a massive singer, a celebrity. Elton John. I can't believe I just forgot Elton John.
She's like, I don't know. He's a huge religious guy. Jesus.
So we did this show and Eric and Janet are like very hippie. And at the end of it,
he's very hippie.
Just like
natural.
Yeah. Just, yeah. And we did this thing where we, wrote down wishes on a piece of paper and like burnt them on fire. But then you'd have to catch it in the air on fire. Then the wish would come true. And we were like, okay, let's do it. And Janet was so serious about it. Like she would barrel down a table to like catch your wish so it would come true. And I'm like, you guys are so awesome. And huge karaoke people. So we do that a lot.
It's wild to think of the guy from Will and Grace who lived in New York City in my mind is like a, you know, like a natural dude, like a man of the earth.
Yeah. And if you like in his most natural state, he is doing karaoke. That's his favorite thing on earth to do.
Can he sing?
Great singer.
Have you watched Ted Lasso at all?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, there's a character who's the owner of the soccer team who you just don't expect. And she's like the greatest singer ever. Just out of nowhere, she's singing karaoke in one of the scenes. You know what I'm talking about, Mike?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you realize she's just a fantastic singer. Mm-hmm. Did you ever get to sing on that show at all? Was there ever a spot where they were?
There wasn't. I wanted, for that show, my character was just, it's a drama. I just kind of wanted to like keep it separate. Just sometimes I feel like maybe that would have gotten like cheesy or something if I tried to introduce that. So I just wanted to keep it separate.
Would they allow you to have any sort of influence on the writing, or could you at times improv a line like, okay, well, let's just see where this goes?
Not too much. It was so sci-fi and my character was a doctor, so like I wouldn't want to improvise a doctor doing surgery, because all my lines I have to be like, okay, this line of 15 words, I don't know 8 of them, so I'd have to look them up, and I wouldn't be a very good improver in that sense.
That's interesting. I had to get a CDL, which is a truck driver's license,
okay,
for my show Breaking Bobby Bones, because I had to go and drive a freaking 18-wheeler like literally on the streets with other people where I could have killed them. Mm-hmm. But I had to get that license, and I've never been in an 18-wheeler before. I've never been in it, much less drive should it. I have a license.
Right.
But I had to learn the book, so I just had to learn words in order. It was like I was memorizing a script of things I had no idea what, so I could go and pass the test.
Did you pass it first time?
No. Three parts, and I passed the first part the first time. But when I went in, the guy goes, why are you taking all three parts at the same time? I said, because my show says I've got 3 weeks to get this license. And he's like, this is the dumbest thing I ever heard. He said, you're not going to pass all three parts. He said, you take one test, then you come back a month later, take another, then a month, take another. And so I went and I passed the first part, and then I went back again and passed the second time. But that's when you say that's what it reminds me of. I had to just remember words in order, even though I didn't know what the words meant.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was never going to know what the words meant.
Yeah, it's like a totally different language of vocabulary.
Did you learn anything about being a doctor, though?
Oh, I could stitch you up if you got a big cut.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
tracheotomy?
Yeah. I could do full surgeries.
No, you can't.
I could definitely stitch, though, because I had a doctor on set with me every day to make sure I was, like, doing things.
Oh, that's cool. Like, quality control type stuff?
Yeah, just to make sure I wasn't, like, doing something completely wrong that, like, nurses or doctors watching the show would know it's fake. So she said that I was one of the fastest people that learned how to do, like, sutures. So if you ever have a cut...
I would be like, you tell that to all the girls. That's what I would think.
Probably.
So you're obviously pursuing music now, and that takes a lot of your time. Mm-hmm. Almost all. I mean, if you're on the road, too.
All of it.
It's that's it. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not like there's a lot of room for you to go. I'm going to go out to L.A. and do this show. You can't, and I have had other people that I know. I wouldn't say friends with, but I've known and been friendly acquaintances with that were like, I'm going to do both full time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to act. I'm going to be a country. But it's hard to get the country music community to buy into you if you're not into it.
Yes.
And so I think Chrissy Metz is struggling with that a little bit. I know she wants to be a country star, but she's also doing This Is Us, and she's back and forth. And I think that's kind of why nobody is really going, yeah, we trust you as a country star.
I think I had to learn that the hard way. Like, when I first came to town, signed a record deal right away, and even my team thought I could do it at the same time. But within the first month of me signing a record deal, this was back in 2016, I book the show. So then I'm out 7 months a year filming. And then I try to come back, and you're right, like, nobody really takes you seriously. So until the show was canceled 4 years later, I didn't put out any music because it just wasn't really working. And you're competing with people that are doing it 100% of the time. Like, how can you expect to compete when you're trying to do it 50% or less of the time? It's just, you're not going to be at the same level. So once the show got canceled, I was like, you know what? I really want to do this, and I really want to focus, and haven't acted since then.
The credible part, and you can do both, obviously, because there are people, once they've kind of established that they're a real deal,
yeah,
like that, then they can't. I mean, Lauren's doing Hallmark movies. McGraw, obviously, has always done the acting thing, but once he firmly planted his feet
you need to, this stage I'm in, like, this grinding stage, mm-hmm, doesn't work. Once you get bigger, I think you can balance the two better.
Once you have the credibility,
yep,
you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And the credibility is just the success at country radio, that you're not going to have a hit or two and then go, you know what, I'm good, I'm done. Because this format, love it or hate it, and at times I have been in both places with it, honestly, because it's been, sometimes it feels a little too archaic for me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is crap. A lot of these roles are crap. You know, they want to believe that you're always going to be part of the system, even if you take a break, that you're coming back to the system.
Right.
And so, but I see you hustling now, and you're on the road all the time, and you've committed. But my point is, you're a credible artist because you're a credible musician. Like, you're no names mentioned, but they'll do a show and then come to Nashville and be like, I'm going to be a singer, country singer too. Mm-hmm. What do we know about you?
Right.
What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I think for you, the benefit is that you do have a background and that this is what you do. Heck, I would say you do this, in my mind, more than you are an actress.
100%, yeah.
Because you've spent more of your life actually doing this on a stage, mm-hmm, with your family, or, you know, before you moved down here.
I think, too, like, the big thing that has, like, helped with people maybe taking me more seriously is the fact that I play instruments. I mean, that really helps when I'm in a room and I can, like...
Massively.
Yeah, talk about, mm-hmm, like, chords and all that kind of stuff.
What do you play? What could I put in front of you and you play?
Well, my main thing is violin. So I grew
Still.
Up, yeah, like, so I grew up playing, like, concertos, like classical violin, orchestras, quartets, solos, competitions, all that kind of stuff.
That's crazy.
So that's my main thing. And then now I play guitar. I can play mandolin. Mandolin's the same as violin, but down here instead of out there.
Same chord structures with your fingers?
Uh-huh. Well, like, violin, you don't do chords so much, but it's the same string. So it's the exact same notes. So it's pretty, translates pretty well. And I could, like, get by on a piano. I used to play well, but I'm not very good at it anymore.
So you could still play violin.
Oh, yeah.
Do you play fiddle?
Now I play fiddle at my shows. But, like, every night, I bust out. I have, like, a sequins fiddle that I bust out on my shows and do, like, a little moment that is fun.
I would be surprised if I were watching you and then you pulled out a fiddle. Mm-hmm. Because a fiddle is such a specialist's instrument. And you don't see a lot of fiddle players. I can name one fiddle players, maybe two, that are actually also up front
singers
as well.
It's kind of a weird, like, at one point I was, like, embarrassed by it, and then my band leader, he's like, Lizzo busts out the flute.
The flute. The
you can't
flute.
Bust out the,
yeah,
the fiddle. Yeah. So
Natalie Stovall,
yeah,
who is now with Runaway June, but, I mean, she's one of the best singers in town. before she was in Runaway June. I mean, she's just that good. But I was always amazed that she could sing and play the fiddle at the same time.
She can do really cool stuff. Like she, I mean, I can't do what she can do. She'll like
bend over backwards.
Yeah. I don't even know. My body won't even do that with nothing in my hands.
What's funny about that is, so she played with my band for a long time. We would do festivals. And so she's such a good singer. I would just be like, all right, listen, they came for me, but you're going to sing and they're going to realize they're here for you. So I'd let her sing songs, but we'd play Devil Went Down to Georgia, which is an easy song for me because I don't really have to sing it. And I can't sing that well. And so we would do it and she would do the back bend and she would get such an eruption that one day she was like, hey, stand behind me when I do the thing and it'll feel like they're erupting for you. And I was like, hey, thanks, Natalie. So she does the back bend while playing and I'd stand behind her and put my arms up and I was like, they're cheering for me. But that's cool that you can play the violin, yeah, a bit of the fiddle.
Well, same thing.
But is it?
I mean, it's definitely like, I think of it like, okay, you're a dancer and you're either like hip hop or you're like ballet. I would say I lean on the like ballet side just because that's how I like learned it.
But if you need to go hip hop, you can.
Yeah. I can bring some swag if I have to.
That's pretty cool.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com.
TECOVAS.
Yeah. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
How many fiddles do you have? How many violins do you have?
I have three. So I have a sequins one. I have just like my acoustic looking one, and then I have a black electric one.
Is there a left-handed violin?
No.
That sucks. I'm left-handed.
You'd have to just...
I wouldn't. That's why I never picked it up. I'll be honest with you. For a long time, I was like, I'm going to take up the violin next. But I play guitar left-handed.
You do?
Yeah, I do everything. Play ball left-handed, golf.
So are
left-handed.
You like the smear across the
all
sheet?
All the back of my hand.
Yeah.
Wait, are you not left-handed, are you?
No.
Usually only lefties know about the smear thing.
I think I've just seen like people with smears all the time. I'm like, why is your hand dirty?
Are you left-handed? Yeah, I saw you do the fiddle, like hold the fiddle up. Yeah, it
no,
sucks.
No, I think it's just always like that. On the right, or on the left side.
Surely we can sue someone.
That's discrimination.
Because we're not being included. Yeah, that's true. So you signed with Big Loud. Mm-hmm. How long ago did that happen?
I signed with them like so long ago, 2016. It was literally like Chris Lane, Morgan Wallen, and me. But like I said, I didn't put out, I was like developing while I was on the show, if you will.
So they say, okay, go do your thing. Mm-hmm. And we'll figure it out together, but no rush to get you out as an artist.
Yeah, like we were flying up, like we flew up, like Laura Veltz came up twice to write with me on the weekends. But same thing, it was like I would work 18-hour days and then try to write on the weekends. And I was just so beat that it's hard to be creative after that much work. So we just, I don't know, it just didn't really work. I learned that.
I read a really interesting article because I struggle, and not as bad now that my wife slaps me around and says, hey, stop working all the time, because she's been a big, mm-hmm. I'd say the biggest influence in my life of trying to have any sort of balance at all.
Yeah.
Because I never had it. Just wake up, work, go to bed, work, and that's it. And try to achieve whatever dumb dream I'd set out to achieve. Mm-hmm. I don't think my dreams are dumb now. I just think there's more to it than the singularity of I only want this.
Right.
And so with her has come, you know, a bit of balance and understanding that there's more to it than just waking up and working. It sounds like there's a lot of that with you, or at least there was for a while, where that's all you were doing. Mm-hmm. And I read this article about, to be extremely creative, you've got to allow time for boredom.
I've heard that.
Which, I'm never bored. Because if there is a time for me to do something, I'm going to be accomplishing something. Mm-hmm. It could be Reed, our video guy here. I'm like, okay, I got a free hour of my whole day. I need you to be at my house. We're going to shoot all these little clips that I have in mind. But I've now focused on, at least a little bit, letting there be time for me to try to be bored. And I did that last night a little bit. Caitlin went to watch Harry Styles. Went to that concert. Did you go by any chance?
No, I wish.
So she went to the show, and I was like, you know what? I'm not planning anything. I played a little Madden, ordered some ramen, and I just sat around. And you know what? I came up with three funny song ideas for, like, my comedy show. And I never am bored enough to, like, be creative. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine with your schedule, it's hard to be creative to even write songs.
Yeah.
Because you're grinding so long.
I think, like, what's your, like, Enneagram or whatever
it's
called? Okay.
Eight, then one.
Okay, I think I'm similar. Is the achiever the three?
All I know is mine is the dictator.
Okay.
Yeah. That's who I get compared to. It's like the dictator that takes over everything. But okay. Yes, we'll go with yours. Okay. It's three. It sounds healthy.
You must have like, I don't really know that system very well, but you must have some sort of three wing in there, if I'm saying it right. But, I'm like you, and like my husband is similar to Caitlin, where he'll be like, we are watching a movie and your phone is not in this room.
Oh, I get in so much trouble for the phone. Do you?
So much. And like, it's so bad because I will feel like a slight anxiety for the first like 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, it's not here.
Yeah.
And then I'll go to check it again.
You ever feel it vibrate in your pocket, but it's not in your pocket?
Yes.
Yeah, me too, all the time. I have some sort of disease, a vibrating pocket disease.
Me too.
So, and again, you know, Mike, did you pull up the Enneagram?
Yeah.
What are they?
One is reformer.
Okay, I'm not a one.
Two is supporter. Three is achiever. Four is individualist.
I'm an 8-3 then. That's what it is.
The dictator, yeah.
What's eight?
Eight is protector.
Oh.
No, that's not right. Maybe I'm the challenger. I think you're reading the wrong one.
Oh, yeah. Eight is a different one. A lot of Google searches. Eight is challenger.
I feel like you're proving your like point right now.
Oh, yeah,
now.
That's true.
That was a test.
I'm fighting him about it. I'm like, that's not right. Yes. So I think mine's an 8. And what's the 3 on the good one you're reading?
The achiever.
Okay. I think I'm an 8 and a 3.
But isn't it nice to have like somebody in your life? Like that's probably why both of our people like came into balance. Because aren't you happier with more balance?
Now I've had to do this analytically. Yes, I'm happier more of the time, but sometimes I just want to work all day.
And that's okay too. I mean, but like to have the days where you're like,
I might die 20 years earlier. I might have died 20 years earlier if it wasn't for her. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I have to at times, and she will go on the road, and when I'm working 23 days in a row, and I'm traveling, and I'm shooting something, or whatever, she'll go on the road with me. And she, you know, changed a lot of her life with her job. But she's like, hey, listen, when we're not on the road, we're shutting it down. Mm-hmm. Not just for her, but also for me. She's like, you're going to die!
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been a struggle, and it's so funny that you have the same struggle.
I do.
He's in music?
He's in music, and he, like, if you met him, like, he might be similar to her, but, like, I am, like, same as you, like, go, 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 go. Like, my brain is just always firing, and Jake is like, what's up, man? Like, just the calmest human. Like, he is so chill at all times.
How did you guys meet?
Songwriting. A long time ago. So he, do you know Rose Falcon?
I do.
Okay, so
she's married to
Rodney. Yeah. So Jake used to date Rose, and I wrote with Rose. They broke up and were just friends. I wrote with Rose, and she's like, "Hey, you should come write with this other guy, Jake." And we wrote, and he called his mom that night, and he's like, "I'm gonna marry this girl." I had another boyfriend, so we didn't date for a long time, but
so his ex girlfriend suggested you go write
the three of us at Rodney's house,
and that's wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like some sister wives stuff. Almost, you know? Like, you kind of, then, so how long did you guys date before you got married?
For 6 years.
And
so long.
He's music. Is he just a songwriter? Is he an artist at all?
Songwriter, artist, actor. He was on Nashville. So maybe you guys were on the same.
As, well, listen, when I was on Nashville, everybody else got off the set. I demanded it. No eye contact. Nobody. It was all nude scenes alone. So no one could be on set. Yeah, it's wild.
You better got paid a lot.
I only was, I only did my scenes with Connie.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. Because whenever I would come in, and I had some, my I'm going to be honest with you. My first two times on the show, I was had like one word. And I played generic people. I think I ended up playing four different people. Or I played myself twice, and then I played two other random people.
Okay.
Which was weird for continuity purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and like season one, I'm like an extra that goes, hey. And season two, I'm a reporter who asked a question. But then I started to play myself because they started referencing me on the show. And so I would go in and have full dialogue. And if people were watching, they were like, that's a reporter and also Guy B from the restaurant.
Isn't the one word worse than like the whole sentence?
It all kind of sucked.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I see how you could say that as an actor, but for me, whenever I would be expected, because you're just put on a set with everybody and nobody cares that I don't act. They care that everybody's got a job to do. Mm-hmm. You ain't trying to be there all day. Don't screw it up. Go. Mm-hmm. No one's like, all right, guy who doesn't act, we're really going to take care and nurse you. Right. They're like, do your job. We didn't bring you in if you can't do your job. And I'm like, and so I did mess up the first time. And then I was okay.
Did you say like, yo?
I think I did okay on the one word ones. Okay. I did okay on the one line ones. But when I had four or five sentences of dialogue back and forth, mm-hmm. I think I was so tight that I think I said a wrong line at the wrong time because I was wasn't really listening. Right. I was waiting for gaps. And then I was like, okay, let me just do what I do. And then it was good.
It's a nerve-wracking thing because it is fast-paced and like, I did, my like worst experience on the set. It wasn't my thing, but it was on Hell on Wheels. So there was, Common was on the show, Anson Mount.
What's that show, Hell on Wheels?
A Western on AMC. So I did three seasons of that. And there was this massive like ensemble scene. And it was, Anson Common had like these massive dialogue lines. And it was all one take. And there was one extra and he had one line. And my heart like broke for him, but he could not get it. And we would do like 5 minutes of dialogue and the camera would get to him and he would just shake and like mess up. And I literally, like, people were getting mad because it, you know, costs money when you keep going. And it was horrendous to see. Like, I felt so bad for him.
Did they cut him?
I don't know what happened. I just like,
he just died. He's like, we never saw him again. We don't know.
I couldn't, you know, when you watch somebody like struggle and it's just, you just put yourself in that position. You're like, oh, I feel so bad for them. They must be so nervous.
Does your husband write with you?
Mm-mm.
Is there a rule?
No, he's just so much different. Like, he's more like Jason Isbell or like Ryan Adams before Ryan Adams.
Pre-trouble Ryan Adams. Yeah.
Like,
totally,
so he's more that. Like, he's cooler than I am.
And so when he was on Nashville, he was a character?
He played Claire Bowen's love interest for the last two.
So later, when it was on CMT.
Yep. When it was, yes, CMT.
Wait, yeah, got it. And so, and that's going, how long have you been married?
We've been married for 2 years. We haven't had our wedding yet. We got married.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So we eloped with 11 people, like, right in the beginning of the pandemic. And we haven't had our wedding yet.
Are you planning on it? Or is it now just a thing you can always say where we've been married 2 years, but we haven't had a wedding?
I don't know. Like, you tell me, was it the best day of your entire life? Like, all the money, all of the stress that goes into it? Or would you have done a smaller thing if you did it again?
I'm going to answer you as honestly as I possibly can. I'm going to be as authentic as I possibly can in this answer. Okay. To me, it was worth it because I had the money to spend.
Got it.
And we had a massive, on property here, mm-hmm. and we were lucky that it was in like that 2-week spot between when COVID was over and COVID came back again.
Mm-hmm.
where it was like vaccines galore, everybody's good. Yeah. We got so lucky. And so, I mean, we had a big on-property wedding because I have a pretty big spot, like mm-hmm. land-wise here. Mm-hmm. And we built it all here. Sonic put up a whole Sonic here because we love Sonic. I mean, it was awesome.
I was going to bring you Sonic today because I knew that. But then I had to, like, probably everybody buys you.
Sonic. Actually, nobody brings us anything. We didn't mention this on. She brought us tacos.
Yeah.
Nobody brings us crap.
No.
Really?
Ever.
You can't go to, like, somebody's house. It's your house. So it's like, I can't come to your house and not bring you.
Yeah, but I think most people think they're coming to just...
straight.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So that's very kind of you.
I hope you like tacos.
Who doesn't like tacos?
That's what I thought.
But the wedding was great for us. I could absolutely see where if someone, if it was tight, I wouldn't have a wedding like that. Mm-hmm. I would spend on a car or part of a down payment on a house or something like that.
Yeah.
But we're lucky. I had the money. We blew it out. I also had great friends that were like, hey, what do you want for a gift? And I was like, nothing. And they were like, okay, we'll sing. So Dan and Shay sang our first song. Ronnie Dunn from Brooks & Dunn sang Neon Moon. Gary LaVox from Rascal Flatts did like 20 songs. You know, he was just... Yeah. So, and that was them going, hey, let us give you something because there's nothing we can give you that's going to be cool to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather was, it was just, it was great. So my answer is yes, but I don't
that
think
that... makes me want to have one.
But I don't think it's a universal yes because I'm just very blessed right now to be able to do that.
Right.
I wouldn't have done it 5 years ago the same way we did it 3 months ago mm-hmm. or so.
Even though like the thought of maybe not having, you know, because it was literally my immediate family, his immediate family, the thought of like some of my friends not being there at, mm-hmm. so I don't know. I got to figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of something we've just been like.
It's also funny that you haven't had a wedding. Like, that's kind of cool, honestly. Like, we've married 2.5 years, whatever, and we still haven't had a wedding.
I know. At this point, people would be like, wait, haven't you, we're coming to your wedding. Haven't you been married for like 10 years?
And then the gifts aren't going to be as good. I'll be honest with you. Because they're like, you're already married. What
I know.
Do you need?
I've got a couple of gifts. But yeah, I was like, oh, dang, I missed out on the gifts.
If you're filling out a legal form and they say occupation, what do you write down?
I say singer, songwriter, actress.
If it's a if it's some sort of government thing,
that's
interesting. You put all of them.
I do. What do you put? Like, because you have a bunch too.
Now I just put entertainer.
Okay.
I used to just put radio, and now if you can get questioned on some of that stuff, so I just put entertainer because I feel like it's all encompassing,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not lying. Mm-hmm. But you do it all.
Well, now I think I'm going to put entertainer.
Well, don't steal my
no,
my,
I'm going
my,
to.
My move there.
That's now my thing. Yeah, I don't know.
What? So, look, Mike, let's go back to the EP for a second because I want to make sure we focus on some of this music here. Let us play. Let's see here.
You want to hear a new song?
Wait, we don't have it.
I can text it to you. It's not out or
but
anything.
I'm going to have to play it from my phone.
Oh, okay.
Unless you text it to Mike. That's going to be a whole thing. I'll tell you what. So people can't steal it because this is what happens sometimes. If we play new stuff, people will cut it out and they'll put it on Instagram.
Oh.
What you should do is text it to Mike and he can play it through his phone, through the microphone. Mm-hmm. Then we get the gist and nobody steals it.
Oh, should I do it?
Yeah. Do you have it?
Yeah.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com.
TECOVAS.
Yeah. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
And so, let me talk to you for a second. Yeah, come over here. Let me ask you a couple questions here. What is your relationship? First, we met earlier when you walked in, I think for the first time.
Yes.
We haven't met before, right?
We were actually on a flight to Las Vegas 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but that wasn't like for a long time. That was just hello, right?
Well, I think I just saw that you were on the flight. I didn't say hello because I was going to say
We had masks. You know, on an airport, I just act like I met everybody because everybody's in a mask and I never remember.
Sure.
Would you have a mask on?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, classic. going to iHeart Festival?
Yeah, I was actually going to Utah, had to go through Vegas, but I saw that we were on the same flight, and I was going to say...
You didn't say hi?
I was like...
And so when I said, have we met, and you said yes, that we didn't meet at all. You just lied. Might kick him out of here. So introduce yourself to our listeners and what you do.
My name's Drew. I work at Big Loud on all things Mackenzie Porter.
So are you in S... Okay, label, but you're not management?
Management.
Okay.
Yep.
You are her manager.
Yeah, with Seth, my boss, and Greg Thompson.
Sure. But you are her day-to-day manager.
Yes, sir, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
So, how's she doing? Let's be honest here.
I think Mackenzie's next record is my favorite piece of music she's ever put out by a landslide.
Have you ever said that, though, and lied about somebody?
No. We just started working together, actually.
Well, so many artists come in like, this is my most personal ever. And I'm like, you say that every time. What's the plan in your mind for her in, we'll go micro to macro, a year?
Have another number one coming off of this Dustin Lynch song, which I think is going to be number one. I think we have.
I also think it'll be number one, by the way, for the record. Yeah.
That's me knocking on wood.
I also think Mackenzie's so good live that we're going to just go after. We have a couple really exciting tour opportunities that I don't know if we're at liberty.
Don't say
to talk
yet.
About.
Yeah, don't say yet.
But you're going to see Mac all over the world next year with some amazing artists.
So she's good live. I think the fiddle thing, sorry, you still used to be in Nashville.
I should have brought it.
I think the violin thing, the fiddle thing, is such a strong move to not talk about it and then bust out in people's face with it. Because people, I would be shocked. Because she's playing guitar and you know she's a real musician. But if she plays the fiddle, you're just like, wait, what? She's even, it elevates her in a way that I just don't think people are expecting to see.
Well, and I think that's the thing about Mackenzie, too, is she's wildly humble. Like, truly a bona fide star in Canada. And the most polite, genuine, sincere person. And it's been unbelievably awesome to work together.
So a year may be aggressive on a solo number one for a new artist. I'll be honest with you. But I think you have a shot to get something going there. Like, well, I think you're that good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But a year may be a little aggressive on the number one. That being said, 5 years. Give me that.
For one number one?
No.
Okay.
We're talking here. We're talking to management,
like,
here.
That made my
5 years.
Best.
Mackenzie, what's the goal there?
I think headlining arenas and amphitheaters in the United States. And I think the other thing that's cool about Mackenzie is we're getting radio play in Germany and the UK. We have an insane offer to go out to Australia next year. So I think just trying to like have that business translate in all these other countries as well.
International country star, or like Keith Urban, where he has to kind of be pop in Australia because they don't really have country music.
No, I think Mackenzie would. I think you'd keep it real.
I just had a number one in Australia.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm here. Your manager says big things. I know you can't hear him right now because I've shut off the. So you believe in her?
I know I can hear him.
I know, I'm just kidding. No, I know you can.
I was like, that'd be so awkward if you can hear me.
No.
Okay, so you're putting all your chips in.
Yeah, 1,000%.
All in the McKinsey business.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of, you know, like what we're trying to do is like be really good at 0 to 60 and like just place so much emphasis on like what you want the project to be like and like hearing these. We were in the studio yesterday. We have 2 more songs coming out this year. We probably have, you know, we know what the next one's going to be for next year. So it's just like keep pouring gas on the fire that I think you've done a really good job lighting.
Mm-hmm. I've got a song coming. I'm like super pumped about that. Carrie wanted to cut as one of her next singles. And it was like a hard decision because that would be a massive thing for me to have a Karen DeWitt cut. But we decided to keep it for myself.
Did you write it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That I'd understand that. So you wrote it. She wanted it. Mm-hmm. And said, I'd like to cut the song.
It was going to be a cut for, like, she was cutting, I think she's cutting 5 for her next single. And it was one of those and like an outside song for her. But I don't know. I feel like I'm at the point where right now, like coming off of the Dustin song, like it's kind of go time. And if the song is good enough for her, it's definitely good enough for me. So I just wanted to keep it for myself because I love it.
You basically gave up money because you believe in yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to like look at the long game. Like me and my husband like literally drew a graph to like see what would be the best situation. And I was like, okay, if it's an album cut on her, I'd be sad because then I didn't get it. If it's a massive single, I would be kind of sad because I wish it was my massive single. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like the only way that for me that was like the best outcome was me to try it.
Mike, did you get the text?
I got it.
This isn't that song. This is a different song, but yeah.
We wouldn't know the difference, but.
This I wrote about my husband, so right when we got married, kind of.
Okay. How long ago? 2 years ago you wrote
this? Well, I wrote it afterwards, I guess. It was like maybe 6 months after.
Mike, I only want about 30 seconds to this because we'll get sued by everybody if we do more than 30 seconds. All right, here we go. Mike, I think we need to stop there.
That it's not as like extort or what's that word?
Distorted, yeah.
Extorted. What does that mean?
I don't want to hear that from you. I don't need any extortion attempts here. So yeah, that distorted, obviously. Far from a microphone. No one's gonna steal it. That's the good news.
Hey, that's good.
So that song's called what?
Heaven Heard Me.
Heaven Heard Me. Oh, that's pretty cool. Like Heaven Heard Me and now you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Listen, I've seen you look at your watch like 4 times. Are we running late here?
No, not at all.
Are you sure?
No, I think it's a nervous habit, if I'm just being honest.
Because you're on the air and now you're starting the show. Okay, I'm just making sure.
Is this your first on the air?
He now admits, he's like, no, I did the show for 4 years.
I've been on other podcasts, but nothing on this level.
What other podcasts have you been on?
I was on Don't Shit on the Bus, which is a touring podcast because I was a tour manager before a manager.
Don't what on the bus?
Don't Shit on the Bus.
Okay.
That's a golden rule.
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. No number twos. You wait till we stop at freaking Bucky's or we stop at Sheets.
Or Wawa.
Or Wawa, depending on what part of the country you're in. Yes.
I was also on a triathlon podcast. It's really nerdy.
You a triathlon guy?
Yeah.
I've done a couple.
He's an amazing
I've done
biker.
A couple Olympic triathlons because I didn't know there was such thing as a sprint triathlon. I was an idiot. The first time.
I think you got an Ironman in you.
I do not. I don't have an Olympic one in me anymore. The first time we turned over to him, it's all triathlon talking about. The first time that I did a triathlon, my girlfriend at the time was like, hey, I'm going to do a triathlon. And I was like, well, that's interesting. So will I. Now, I'm a hard worker. I'm a mediocre athlete, but I can work myself into being a pretty good athlete. And so signed up. She was like, well, how long? Let me see your training schedule. Because I was working full time all the time. And I said, well, okay, let's look at it. She goes, wow, you're training so much more than I am. Like your distance is so much longer. And I was like, well, I signed up for the. She goes, no, I'm doing a sprint. And I was like, well, what does that consist of? And she told me, and where I think hers was a half a mile swim, or mine was a 1 mile swim. And then hers was a 12 mile bike ride, or mine was 25 miles. And so I had no idea. And I did this triathlon and finished it. And I was like, dang, that sucked. But I could do so much better now that I, so I did a second one, hated it again, and we'll never do another. But thank you. Thank you for saying that. There's no way I could do an Ironman.
Did you feel though, like in your best shape of life?
No.
No. No. Just hated it.
I hate exercising, and I do every day. It sucks.
But I see you, it's been.
It's, oh, I exercise every day. I have a trainer that comes to my house 3 times a week. I'm running. Like, I'm at it 6 days a week, but I hate it.
Do you like the after though?
Yeah, the other 23 hours, I love myself. It's the one out, but I do that. You talk about you made a chart about this song with your husband. That's how I have to look at my life. It's like, would I rather not exercise and kind of be like, dang, for 24 hours? Mm-hmm. Or absolutely hate it for an hour? And the other 23 be like, good for you. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I exercise. I did a couple triathlons. My best shape ever was Dancing with the Stars. On that show.
Yeah, I've heard that is like grueling.
Grueling. And I'm still injured in places of my body.
Was your body just like, I hate you?
I was like that to me too, other than just my body. It was like, I hate you, because it was a whole experience. But okay, look, how long has this been?
1 hour and 3 minutes.
We've hit an hour. We don't always hit an hour with people. But let me say this about you. I think your hardest step is going to be, because you're so talented, convincing people that this is the talent that you're here for, mm-hmm. you know? But I think once they believe, they're going to be a big believer.
I hope so.
And that's what the best part is. You actually have the goods. It's just this town, as you know, mm-hmm. they're so old school sometimes.
I know.
It's just so, you agree too, right? He doesn't want to say anything. Yeah. It's so, like, it drives me up the wall sometimes. But right. you have every element.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the Dustin song.
Thank you so much.
Crazy that went from you just singing on a dim. But that also shows you can sing. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing else. That just shows you can sing. It's like that show now on Fox where they have the avatar. Have you seen that? Where it's like the voice, but it's an avatar that sings?
Mm-mm.
No? You don't know what they look like? And so they make an avatar.
Oh, yes. I have. Yeah. That's
it looks
bizarre.
Like the dumbest
yeah.
show ever.
Yeah.
But like real singers are winning that show
right.
because there's nothing else to it.
Yep.
And so you basically just won the Avatar show to be on Dustin's song.
I did.
So congratulations there. And listen, I'm looking forward to seeing what you got next. What's the next like radio single you guys are going with? Like where you're pushing it and that's the one?
I think it's the one we cut yesterday. It's called Pickup. But, you know, now that I said it on air, my team's going to be like...
But you don't know yet. Well, you're not committed to anything here.
Yeah. I think it's that song, but we don't know yet.
Whenever you're ready, you let me know. You can come up by yourself without Dustin. I rarely do this, but here's your coupon to go. We want to use it. We want to come in, and you guys can come in and play and sing and show off really how good you are.
I would love that.
All right?
I would love that. Thank you for being so awesome and supportive of young artists. It's very cool.
Well, to be fair, good artists. Because some old artists I'm supportive of, too. Right? It's just the ones that aren't good that it's harder to be supportive of.
Well, I appreciate it.
Well, it's been great. Great to spend some time with you. Thank you for the tacos. Thank you for coming on, talking a little bit. He's looking at his watch a lot. I was like, McKenzie's got to be somewhere else.
No, I have nowhere to be.
He's like, is that a fancy watch?
No.
You making the
big bucks
over
there? It's a Rolex.
No. Is it a Rolex? Is it a Rolex? Okay.
This is, it was before I was married or had a mortgage.
Probably made it from that bus podcast, huh? Your residuals from that episode?
Don't shit on the bus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was in my touring days.
Okay. Listen, you guys, come in. You're invited. Whenever you get that song and you decide, you know, what you want it
don't
to be.
Don't tempt me with a good time. I'm going
to
be there.
And when you want it, you're welcome to come in. You just let us know and come on up. You guys, check out Drinking Songs. It's 7 songs. Do you still want me to say that? Or are you, like, moved on from that?
I personally am moved on, but, like, that's how I'll always feel. I'll put out a song tomorrow and like the next day I'll be like, but what about this new one?
On Instagram, Mackenzie P Music. But I caution you that if you follow her, she's going to think you're going to reach out and try to cut a song with her. Every single one of you out there. Mackenzie P Music. Okay. I think we've done our job here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the tacos. Great job. And Mike, anything from you?
We're good.
Okay. That is it. We'll see you next time.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period.
Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.